Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your host, 12 Kyle. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about artists and music from R&B, hip-hop, rap, and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and the 2000s. This is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, thanks again for checking in with the Rap Soul Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching. We definitely appreciate it. All right, on this episode, we're going to keep it real simple. You see the title, Who Won the Beef? If you've been following hip-hop since its inception, probably since the mid-80s, let me go back. Hip-hop has always been about competition, right? And it's almost been like the lyrical king of the hill, if you will. It's the guy that or girl that's standing on the top of the hill and you got to knock them off. So it's always been a competitive sport. But over the years, you know, hip-hop beefs have festered. Unfortunately, some have gotten violent. Some have turned deadly. And some beefs happen and we probably didn't know that there really was a beef, but there was a beef. And so on this episode, we're just going to keep it real simple. We're going to talk about who won these particular beefs. As you can't see on YouTube, I have a co-host. My guest today is no stranger to the show. He is one half of Pod and Saved Our Marriage. A good friend of the show. He's been on the 12 Kyle podcast several times. My man, 30 Grand King Germ is in the building. Germ, what up?
What's going on, 12 Kyle? Thank you for having me on the Rap Soul podcast. It's always a pleasure to be in the green room of one of 12 Kyle podcasts. He has the most delicious hors d'oeuvres. I mean, listen, the little cookies he got are to die for. But thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Man, listen, we were on the phone today. And we were talking about another podcast that we were going to do. And I was like, you know, and I mentioned a beef and you was like, no, they didn't win that beef. And I was like, yes, they did. And it just got me to think. And I was like, you said, well, hey, that's a show right there. You was like talking about who won a particular beef. And I was like, all right, cool. And since we were already recording tonight, I was like, you know what? Scratch that. Let's not do that one. Let's do this beef thing because I am interested to hear who you thought. And King Germ is a huge hip-hop fan. Yes. So Germ, I've got a list, and I mean a long list of hip-hop beefs. We'll go through the list. We'll get about halfway through and then we'll take a commercial break and then we'll come back and finish the other half. But I wanted to know from you, you know, like who won these particular beefs. Now the great thing about this is that Germ will be answering these off on the fly. He doesn't know which beefs I'm going to talk about, or ask him about. But Germ, if there are beefs that I bring up that you've never heard about or don't know about, you know we can pass or what have you like that. Okay. So you ready to get into it, man?
Hey man, let's get into it, man.
All right. And these are in no particular order, so they're going to really be all over the place. There may be some beefs from the 2000s. Hell, there are definitely going to be some beefs from the 80s. So the first beef, I'll be honest, Germ, I didn't really know that it was a beef, but according to hip-hoppers, there was a beef at some point in time between Drake and Puff Daddy.
Oh, wow.
Are you familiar with that beef?
I heard about a incident between these two, but I didn't know it was beef to where there was bars thrown back and forth with each other.
And see, here's the thing. Some of these beefs, there weren't bars thrown or punches thrown, but there was just some words. So this beef, I think there was some type of altercation or something in a club. I don't necessarily know that there were any lyrics thrown between these two gentlemen, but your opinion, who the little bit that you know, who won the beef between Drake and Puff?
Well, one is free and one is locked up. So I'm going with Drake won that battle right there. So give me Drake in that battle.
You know what, man? I gotta agree. I don't necessarily know that Drake is gonna win a lot of beefs, but right now, at the time of this recording, he's a free man. He's, you know, probably not in the best of spirits, but he is a free man. Puff, I'll be honest, Jerm, I don't think Puff's getting out of jail. I think Puff is, he's going to do a stretch. And here's the funny, well, not the funny thing, but if you follow the podcast, one of the first episodes I did was talk about the United States versus Puff Daddy. What's interesting is that Puff's case isn't even like I don't even know when his case is supposed to come up. So like he's literally just sitting in a Manhattan jail. So it's going to be a while.
Yes.
The next beef, Soulja Boy versus Ice-T. You remember that one, Jerm?
I do.
Now on the surface, it doesn't look fair, but I do remember this, Jerm, and there was kind of like a war of words. I don't necessarily know if there were any bars, but yeah, who won between Ice-T and Soulja Boy?
I gotta go with Big Draco. Soulja Boy got to, because it's like people play with Soulja Boy name and they don't understand the importance of what he brings to the game and what he's done. He's a pioneer and he should be treated as such. We might not, you know, look at his offering as you know, as something major, but it was something major what he did. So I got Big Draco in that one.
Ice-T won that beef, man. Ice-T told Soulja Boy to shut the hell up and that was enough.
Nah, he gotta do better than that.
Yeah, I'm taking Ice-T in that beef. So look, now we've got some of the preliminaries out the way. We can talk a little bit about some beefs where there was actually some bars. Eminem versus Cannabis. Do you remember that beef?
Yes.
Yeah, there were some words back and forth between Can I Bust and Marshall Mathers. So in that beef, Jerm, who you got?
This is like that Spider-Man meme where Spider-Man was like looking at himself, because if Cannabis was white, he'd be Eminem, and if Eminem was black, he'd be Cannabis. So I'm about to go with Marshall in this one, man. Even though it was I begrudgingly say Marshall, I'm gonna go with Marshall.
Okay. So let me back up a little bit. So you think that Eminem, if he were black, he would be Cannabis, so he would not be as popular as he is now?
Absolutely not. He would not be as popular. And he said it so himself in the song. He said, let's do the math. If I was black, I would have sold half. Like, he said that for himself. So why are we... I'm not going to argue with the man.
Okay. You know what? I really can't disagree. I mean, and I think Eminem is an incredible MC. I don't have him ranked as high as some people have him on some of these lists, but Cannabis is a great MC too. I think I vaguely remember this one, but I'm going to give it to him because I think in a battle, if they were going back and forth bar for bar, I think Eminem probably wins. Next up, two guys who really don't really rap like that. But they waged a nice little beef, at least for a short period of time in the early 90s. One, Luke Skywalker versus Dr. Dre. Who you got in that beef?
I've got to go with Dr. Dre. Dr. Dre had a lot of help in his battle. You know, it wasn't even...
What help did Dre have in his battle?
It was a youngster named Snoop Doggy Dogg coming on in his prime. Snoop Doggy Dogg, people, check it out. Right. And I thought the battle was unfair. I was just like, who battles Luke? I was like, what is Luke? I was like, what? Why are y'all saying this about Luke? Like, I didn't think nobody took Luke that seriously, to the point where you making diss songs about him, saying, you know, he got gap teeth in your mouth and all that wild stuff they were saying back in the day. So I'm gonna have to go with Dr. Dre in this one, man.
Yeah, I gotta agree, man. Dre had a little help. I think Snoop probably ghost wrote for him. And that was the thing too that was interesting, is that you make a good point. Luke didn't bother nobody, man. Luke liked to party. He liked to have a good time. He liked to bring out his dancers, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like, he don't want no trouble. He don't want no trouble. So how they, I can't even remember how this beef started. Obviously, you hear it addressed in Dre Day. But according to Luke now, you know, as of 2025, you know, he and Dre and Snoop are all cool, and they've been cool for years. So they had a moment, as we say in hip hop, and they were able to move on. The next beef, this one simmered for a little bit. Cardi B versus Nicki Minaj. Who won that beef?
I'm going to say Nicki Minaj won the battle.
Wow.
Because Cardi dropped one album and that's it. That's it. Like, she dropped that album, like, what, 7 years ago?
It might have been 15 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. You got to follow it up, sis. Like, that's the whole point of the game. And Nicki has been, she's proven over time that she can still rap. She still rap. Even if she just lost a step, her losing a step is still better than Cardi on her best day. You know what I'm saying? And then, so I'm going to continue to say Nicki won the battle, no matter how hard the media tried to force feed Cardi B to us. Nicki still won.
Yeah, I don't really know that, and somebody, I'm sure somebody will tell me. I don't even know if they've exchanged words as far as bars for bars. I know that there was almost a physical altercation that they got into at some event. I think it might have been the Met Gala or something like that. A shoe was thrown, some wild shit like that.
They set bars against each other now.
Oh, did they? Okay.
Motorsport. I think they both was on that song. You know, Nicki was like, "Watch your man. You should watch your mouth." You know, little stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, they say little sly disses each other all the time.
Okay, so little subs.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, like, I mean, like you said, Cardi has one album. I mean, like, that is mind-boggling to me, because most artists don't get to hang around this long off one album. And, you know, of course, she's done guest verses and, you know, she was married or may still be married to one of those Migos. So I get it. But yeah, I in this one, I'm taking Nicki. I think Nicki is the better MC, if you will. And hopefully, you know, in some years, we'll get another Cardi B album. We'll see. Next battle. This one goes back to the 80s, Germ. Marley Marl, member of the Juice Crew, versus KRS-One. Who you got?
I got to go with the Blastmaster in this one. Just because... So was he dissing and the bridge is over?
Well,
was
you know dissing? What? Let me rephrase that. Instead of saying Marley Marl and the Juice Crew, let's go to MC Shan and KRS-One, because that's probably more fitting.
Yeah, I'm still going with KRS-One this one. Mm-hmm. Have you seen MC Shan lately?
Stop, John.
He got that sunken in mouth. He looks like a junkie, man. KRS-One, you can say what you want to about his nose, but the man still got it. He still can rap. You might not want to hear what he's saying, but that man can rap. So I'm still going with KRS-One, because he went... The bridge is over way tougher than the bridge. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you come out with the bridge and everybody loving it. And listen to Shan on that verse. I mean, yeah, you did all right. But when you hit the first couple drops of the bridge is over, that's one of those beats that, you know, it's iconic. Iconic. Mm-hmm. And so I still got to go with KRS-One and that one.
Yeah, I agree. I said that back then, and I still say that to this day. And what's always interesting, and KRS-One always talks about this, or at least he did many years ago, is that he would not have had a career had Shan not ever responded to him. Mm. And Shan could have easily walked away or taken KRS-One's diss and said, like, man, I don't even know who you are. Because at that particular time, Shan was a recording artist. KRS-One, I think, if I'm not mistaken, was still living in a homeless shelter. I mean, like, he was somebody who was really just grinding, and that's where he met Scott LaRock, because I think Scott LaRock was a counselor at the homeless shelter where he lived. And their friendship kind of took off from there. But yeah, I mean, if he never responded, What'd you say?
So look at that hunger, a homeless rapper. Nobody's hungrier than him.
I mean, if Shan never responds, nothing ever happens. But KRS-One, I mean, he did respond, and the rest is history. So yeah, I'm not even going to talk about how Shan looks, but I'm taking KRS-One all day, every day.
Twice on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Next beef. This one was the late 80s, early 90s. This was early 90s. Ice Cube versus NWA. Who you got and why?
Well, I got to go Ice Cube on this one. Mm-hmm. Because, hold on, I got a cough.
All right. Man has business calls.
No, I had a cough. I had to cough.
Oh, okay. I thought you said a call coming in.
Oh, no.
I was about to say business hours, you know, but I mean, I know you make money, you know.
Listen, man, my daughter had a recital tonight. They said 12 Cal. I got to do the 12 Cal show, go to my daughter's recital. I said, she could be okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, when 12 Cal call, you shipped around your schedule. But getting back to what we were saying, Ice Cube, hands down, he took on a whole group and murdered them. I mean, one, if I'm writing all the raps anyway, what y'all going to do? Without me, I'm writing all the rap, so mm-hmm. I'm about to fire up some real fire shit for y'all. So Ice Cube, hands down, he took on all of them and made one of the most scathing diss songs in hip hop history. Mm-hmm. So it's Ice Cube, shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, I would agree. I think, you know, what's really interesting is that Ice Cube was the heartbeat of NWA, and I mean, like, no Vaseline. There was never a response to that. I mean, yeah, they tried, but I mean, there was really no response to it. And if their response was, or their reaction was like how we saw it in the movie Straight Outta Compton, that makes it even funnier, because like, I can only imagine them sitting around and playing that, because like, no Vaseline was, in my opinion, I think it's the greatest diss record in hip hop history. But yeah, there was nothing they could do. And like you said, he wrote for them. So, I mean, I don't think he wrote for Ren, but he wrote for everybody else in the group. So it's like, what y'all gonna do? I don't care what you, there's no coming back for you. No whatsoever.
We can't write a diss song back to you, because we didn't write our own song. So now.
Exactly. Next beef. This beef was more about business than it was any bars going back and forth. This beef was between a father and a son, quote unquote. Birdman versus Lil Wayne. Who you got in that beef?
Birdman won this battle.
How did Birdman win?
Because, one, you are my son. I done kissed you in your mouth in front of everybody. I put you in a bad I put you in a bad contract. Everybody knows that Jay-Z had to come get you out of your tax burden. What do? You run back to me anyway. You're still under my wing. I don't know what kind of control over you I done had over you since you was 12 years old. You my son. Birdman wins that battle easily.
Yeah, as much as I hate to admit it, because, you know, Birdman is not a lyricist or anything like that. If it came down to something lyrical, then of course I'm taking Lil Wayne all day. But yeah, I mean, it's well documented how Wayne was, you know, in over his head as far as his money was concerned. And to be honest, Jerm, I still think there may be a case that Birdman still owes Wayne some money somewhere.
I'm sure he does. So,
you know, in that saying that, I'm definitely taking Birdman in that. Let's see. Next beef. This one, actually, there was some words exchanged. Benzino versus Eminem. Who you got in that beef?
Man, this is a tough one, because I kind of understand Benzino's side, but I'm gonna have to go again with Eminem. Man, he got him. I mean, even though Benzino released some tapes of Eminem saying some horrible things about black women. I mean, that's what I'm trying to, you know, I don't want to say he won the battle by the scandal or the Examiner type male or whatever, the TMZ style battle, but he fought back. But as far as Eminem, when he did the little song, the Marshall Mathers song, XXL, okay, now I hope you out. Maybe your magazine don't have that much trouble to sell, so I'm going Eminem again.
Yeah, I got to go with Eminem. I've never been a fan of Benzino or his music, but I will say this much. The thing that I liked about this particular beef is that Benzino stepped his rap game up, and exactly. I think Eminem kind of dropped his down. I don't think M was on his A game when he was battling Benzino. Maybe Benzino had him off his square because he was coming with facts and he was coming with tapes and all kind of stuff like that. But these were some of Eminem's worst battle bars, if you will. All right, let's go old school, West Coast. MC8 and DJ Quick. Who won that battle?
Oh, man. Now, this was Young Germ, Experiment West Coast.
Okay.
I am biased to MC8 because that was Compton Most Wanted, We Come Strapped. That album right there was one of my favorite albums. So I'm going to say MC8 won that battle just because that's who I gravitated to after the battle. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say MC8 won.
Nah, man, I got to go with Quick. He said the G, what he said, the 8? No, he said we can't call you MC8 because the G ain't in you.
Yeah.
Or something like, I'm paraphrasing, but yeah. That bar right there, I think Quick got him. That was another one where guys from same areas, you know, gangs, hoods, sets, I mean, like, it could have really, really spilt over into the... I mean, it was in the streets. But yeah, I'm taking Quick, man. And I love MC8, too. Compton's Most Wanted got a lot of play in my tape deck back in the day. Next up, one guy who's been... You'll see he's going to appear on this list quite a few times. 50 Cent versus Ricky Rose, Rick Ross. Who won that beef?
I'm still saying it's still a draw because they're still battling to this day. Like, this beef is not over. Like, I don't think we can call a winner in this fight until, you know, I'm going to have to say the jury's still out on this battle because they're still going at it.
You know what? For this one, I'm going to give it to Rick Ross. And the reason why I'm going to give it to Rick Ross is because 50 Cent was able to troll Rick Ross. He was able to expose Rick Ross to a lot of people who did not know that Rick Ross was a CO. CO.
That was very damaging.
It was, but was it?
I mean, think about it. If I'm sitting here spitting these dope man, coke boy rhymes, and all of a sudden, because they weren't even saying he was a CO, they said he was a cop. Officer Ricky. That was the little thing. And so it was like people wasn't even, they was getting caught up in the like, no, I'm not a cop. I'm a correctional officer. People was like, nah, you was a cop. And I'm just like, they're not the same. Like, so, but it was funny. But yeah, that was damaging because it was like, he made it through that. So you might be right. Rick Ross did win that battle.
Yeah, so I'm giving it to him because in theory, that should have killed Rick Ross's career.
100%.
And it didn't. And so he's still here. And like you said, now it's still ongoing, but I'm going to give Rick Ross the slightest of nods because right now he's still on top. Next beef. We mentioned 50 Cent, so let's keep it on 50. 50 Cent versus Young Buck.
50 Cent, washed him. 50 Cent put out audio of you begging, crying, and I mean, the images that 50 Cent made us think of you when you say Young Buck, people laugh. Every time you say Young Buck, somebody, you gonna snicker. Yeah. And it's because of what 50 did to him. So it's like, your name is a joke. 50 won that one. Like, flawless victory. Flawless.
Yeah, I. It's funny you say that because when I wrote this one down, I snickered. because Young Buck... Hey, man, I ain't seen Young Buck in the same light since then, man. It's just been... And I really liked G-Unit when all of them first came out and they were together. I liked him, man. But, yeah, 50, Now, here's the thing. 50 don't play fair. He ain't going to play fair.
No.
But he finds ways to win. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you can't be mad at it. Next up, let's take it to the ladies. Lil' Kim versus Foxy Brown. Who you got?
I'm going to have to go with Lil' Kim. Lil' Kim won because she went to the top. She made it to the top of the mountain when it came to the ladies MCing and rapping. She was at the top. Foxy never made it to the top. Foxy was almost there, but it was something missing that didn't get her over the hump. And so Queen B it is. You know, then Foxy disappeared. You know, Lil' Kim stayed around the game, stayed relevant. You know what I'm saying? You know, not, you know, in the end, you know, looks wise, Foxy might have won. You know, but as far as the rap battle goes, I'ma stick with Lil' Kim. She won that battle.
Yeah, I gotta go with Fox Boogie Brown. I think she's the better MC. I think when they were sparring or whatever like that, a couple of subliminals and the disses that they threw at each other, I think Foxy won. I don't think Kim has been what she could have been. But then on the flip side, you're right. Foxy got to a certain place and to a certain plateau, and then she just kind of stayed stagnant. And she, I don't want to say she fell off. She disappeared. Like, she literally disappeared. Even to the point now, I don't even know in 2025 if Foxy's still making music. She could be. I just haven't heard anything in a while.
Neither has Foxy.
I'm going with Foxy. Let's go back to the 80s and the early 90s. Kool Moe Dee versus LL Cool J. Who you got in that battle?
Now, I was a youngin' when this would happen.
Okay.
But I understood what was going on. And I knew, like, LL had said something in the first song. I don't know the name of the song because I was, like I said, a youngin'. But I know when Kool Moe Dee came back with the Wild Wild West, I knew how my uncles and them was acting. Like, they were just like, oh, like LL in trouble. Like, LL in trouble. So I was just like, you know, at that time, LL was my favorite rapper in the world.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And so I was nervous. Mm. But then LL came back, delivered, sent Kool Moe Dee to Atlanta wearing a crisscross jacket, like Martin said. LL won that battle.
Yeah, I think Jack the Ripper probably, for me, put him over the top. But as somebody who watched that battle and that beef go on and back and forth, it was a great back and forth. So you got to tip your hat to Moe Dee. Moe Dee did not back down. He called LL out on some of the stuff he was saying and all the stuff he was doing, like licking his lips and being in interviews saying, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, like 50,000 times. He hit LL on his intellect. Moe Dee always talked about the fact that he graduated from college and LL was like a high school dropout or some shit. Mm-hmm. Like, so Moe Dee, he played to the crowd. I think, okay, this is what I'll say, Germ. If that beef had happened in, like, 2025 as opposed to like 1991, Moe Dee probably wins. But LL at that particular time, man, he was Ladies Love Cool James. And like you said, like you and many other thousands of people, that was their favorite rapper. So this was the first time that somebody really openly came for the crown. And LL at that particular time had the crown. So I'm going to give it to LL, but I will say this much. That battle and that beef was way closer than people are willing to admit. Shout out D-Collecting. next up, Nicki Minaj versus Remy Ma. The ladies, who you got in this one?
Nicki washed her. Why? Because, why? Like, yo, like Sheether, everybody was like, yo, she came back. Everybody know Papoose wrote that. Go listen to it. That's Papoose flow. Remy don't even rap like that. She ain't rap like that since then. She ain't never rap like that before then. So Papoose wrote Sheetha. Then another one. Did Remy ever drop an album? Did she? I mean, what?
I think she did. Let me
look. Let's look. Cause I don't think Remy dropped the album either. And if she did, that's a shame, because it must ain't do nothing. I don't think she just got that first album that won. There's Something About Remy. I think that's the only one she got. And so if that's the case.
Discography. Yeah, she's got a couple of albums. She dropped one in. Oh, she's got a few. Not a lot.
What's the name of them? Just give us
some
names.
A couple of EPs. I'm Around. That was in 2014. Remy on the Rocks. That was in 2015.
None of these are no albums.
Play to Plomo. That was 2017. Now, I've heard of none of these. She dropped an EP that was one single with Fat Joe, and that was last year. She's had a couple albums.
Okay. Couple albums. All right. But we know Nicki has been moving. Nicki is still hurt, so Nicki wins this one, running away, high-stepping.
But does that give you a victory just because you're putting out music?
I mean, if you didn't stop my career, I stopped yours. Like, you know, and then it's so funny. It's like in the women's game, it's like they got to find somebody that's, can you take down Nicki? Are you the one to take down Nicki? It's like everybody. It's like she like fucking, you know, like Sir Lancelot over there or something. Like everybody gotta. So you gotta go through her to make it to the top. So I gotta go with Nicki again.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not gonna give Nicki credit just for putting out albums, because, you know. And here's the thing. You also have to remember. And I don't have the timeline in my head, but I do know Remy stopped recording at one point in time because she had a baby, and you know, wasn't Papoose locked up or something like that?
No, she was locked up.
But she was locked up. So you know, she came out and she did a thing. I love Sheetha, so I'm giving this to Remy.
Wow,
I'm giving this to Remy. Next up, let's take it to the South, the King of the South, T.I. versus Flip.
Come on. This is another one of those where it got the bullying at one point. Like, it got to the point where when T.I. shot that video where he went to Cloverland and was asking people in Flip Hood, do they know who Flip is? And they was in his own hood, and it got to the point where I felt bad for Flip. He even went to Scarface. He said, Scarface. And Scarface was like, yo, I don't even know who dude is. And dude was like, well, Scarface still the king in my eyes, at least in my eyes. No matter, and it's like his heart, his soul was so broken. And then when Tip dropped down, when he came to mixtape with DJ Drama, and then he popped up at the birthday bash when everybody thought he was still locked up. Man, come on. He outclassed him. He outrapped him. He outswagged him. T.I., hands down, the king.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm from, y'all know I live here in Atlanta. I just, that wasn't, it wasn't a fair fight. And I think it got to a point where T.I. knew he had Flip on the ground, and he just commenced to keep punching him. And it was like, come on, man, leave him alone, man. Let him go, stall him out. And man, Flip was just down. And I don't even know that Flip was ready or built for what that beef was going to be. But you know, they eventually squashed it or whatever like that, so that was cool. Next up, the two people that we talked about that actually led to this idea of this podcast: Drake versus Pusha T.
Well, I'm gonna have to say Drake won this battle. Why did Drake win the battle? I know y'all think like, no, Pusha T rapped it. He did, but it was the whole point of Drake was his muse. Drake, you know what I'm saying? But Drake made him rap one of his best albums he ever rapped in his life. You know what I'm saying? That man dropped Daytona, which was a masterpiece. Masterpiece. Drake did that. Drake is the reason why he got that man, got his creative juices flowing. Like, and made a name. Like, but then after that, he ain't did nothing since. We ain't heard nothing from Pusha since Daytona. Do he need Drake, the boy, to say something to him again? I got the boy right now. In these rap battles, I got the boy 2-0 already.
No, you bugging. Listen, that beef, in my opinion, it was a really good beef, and it was one that we saw brewing. But And Drake is lucky that he's as popular as he is, because he's a pop star, not a rapper. Because the picture in blackface really should have got Drake out of the paint. Long gone out of the paint. Because
it was AI.
That seems to be something on brand that Drake would do. Paint his face black for some white folk, for some attention. But I digress. But no, Pusha T obliterated Drake. That beef was really, I liked it. I think it was close at the beginning, but when Pusha T dropped that last song, it was a wrap. He was done. Which was cool, because you know, Drake really proved to me that he could actually go back and forth with a MC. Next up, this one really didn't involve words, but there was some tension and some friction. The Migos versus Joe Budden. Who you got in that one?
Oh man, I'm about to go with Migos, because they won that piece because, one, Joe didn't fight back, and two, they made it like a whole little statement, like if somebody hate her, call him Joe Budden or something like that. So that was a very interactive part of the song that the crowd would sing. So, you know, and then everybody got introduced to Joe Budden, didn't know that he was a rapper and could really rap. They just think he's some kind of talking head, like for the younger kids that didn't know. So I'm going to have to say Migos won that battle, man. They got him.
Yeah, Migos won, and I was very disappointed because I'm a Joe fan. I'm not even a fan of Joe the content creator. I'm a fan of Joe the MC. Joe Budden the MC, don't get it twisted, can bar you to death. He just won't. You know, and he's put his pen away. He's hung up his microphone. He's long gone. He's a podcast. He makes millions of dollars doing that and other things and doing TV commercials. But I was hoping that, because to me, I think if Joe Budden got into it with the Migos lyrically, I think it's a slam dunk. I think he slam dunks all three of them. Rest in peace. He slam dunks all three of the Migos at the time. But he didn't respond. And so by default, you got to give it to the Migos. And the Migos were clever, like you said. They attacked him, and you know, and Joe really punked out. Like he went on the podcast and was like, "Hey, you know, I ain't messing with the Migos. Like, I don't want no smoke." And it was just like, "Come on, Joe, man, you've battled and talked about Jay-Z and Drake and all of these other people." And maybe it could have been Germ that he understood that they weren't MCs and they were rappers, and he was, and who knows, it could have been, and this theory has been thought out, or thrown out, is that he had hung up the mic for so long, he probably didn't really know if he still had what it took to get in that square circle and dance. And there could be some truth to that. And honestly, it would have been interesting, because at the time, there was nobody hotter than the Migos. Nobody. So I was a little disappointed in Joseph. But, you know, it is what it is. Right now, we got to take a quick commercial break. And on the other side of the break, I've got a few more for King Germ to see who won these beefs. Sit tight. We'll be back in just a second. If you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast. Hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so,
tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shape the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes.
And just like that, we are back. Once again, it's your boy 12 Kyle. This is the Rap Soul Podcast, and we are talking about who won the beef. I got my man King Germ in the building from Pod and Saved Our Marriage. Before the break, we went through a bunch of beefs in hip hop, and we've got a few more, and so far so good. Germ is, you know, he hadn't said anything outrageous yet. So let's keep it moving. Let's go to the 80s. Germ, you might have been a little bit too young for this one, but UTFO versus Roxanne Shanté, who won that beef?
Funny you should say that. We were just having a discussion about this the other day, and if I'm going to say who won this battle, I'm either going with Roxanne Shanté, because she built a career off this one song. Like, she still got a job now off this one song. Because did she ever drop an album?
Yeah, she did. But the thing about it was, I want to say that album came long, like 2 or 3 years after her Heat. Mm-hmm. So she had this single, and this single buzzed for like the better part of a year and a half, 2 years, and then it was like over 50 different responses and stuff like that. So every other day there was somebody coming out with a Roxanne Shanté disc. And Roxanne, you know, it was the Roxanne, they called it the Roxanne Wars. Mm-hmm. And so imagine dropping a single, and I want to say she was 14 or 15 at the
14
time.
14 or 15, yes.
So she drops that, she's in high school, and she's battling, and she's got this name, she is the hottest name on the streets, if you will. And her record label fumbles it, and she doesn't come out with an album until like 2 or 3 years later. By that time, I'll be in Germ, I may have heard that album twice. There's not really much I remember about it. Like, it was nothing where I had to be like, where I was like, yo, I gotta hear this again. I know I didn't buy the tape, so there you go. So I will agree with you. I mean, at the time of this recording, Roxanne Shanté just won a Grammy for the Lifetime Achievement Award or something like that. She's clearly built a career off of the Roxanne Wars and her, and rightfully so. I mean, she is a pioneer. Don't get it twisted. She was not a one-hit wonder. But, you know, that song propelled her to the top. So I'm definitely going to go Roxanne. All right, next up. What you all want to know, Drake versus Kendrick Lamar, who you got?
Well, I mean, if we really keep in score here, if you look at the facts, Drake did inspire Kendrick to having the best season, if you want to look at it, of his career. Like, his MVP season is thanks to Drake. It's thanks to Drake. And now the only problem is, can the follow up to this, can he keep this momentum, or does he go back into his hole and it like a hermit? If he goes back in his hole like a hermit, I'm gonna say Drake won. But if he stays outside like he is now, I'm gonna say Kendrick won. So my answer today is Kendrick, but it could change in 6 months if he goes back into that hole. And the boy comes back out. It's like, I told y'all, that's not y'all hero. He's not gonna lead y'all to the land, to the promised land. I am the boy.
You know, so, what? But, uh-huh. That's a fair answer. I thought you were gonna say the wrong answer, but that's a fair answer. Kendrick won, and we all know, and I don't have to go into a whole bunch of detail as to how and why he won. I will say this much, given the fact that, and I tweeted this last night after the Super Bowl halftime show, this completes his victory lap. From the time that these beef started, this particular beef started, and they started going back and forth with the diss records, Kendrick won that, obviously. He won with the GNX album, the album that we didn't know anything about, that came so crazy and, you know, won all of these awards. Then he swept the Grammys, which never happens. I mean, five Grammys, winning Song of the Year. Rap songs never win Song of the Year. They're usually up for Song of the Year, but never win. So he does that, performs at the Grammys.
Sorry, Ms. Jackson.
I mean, yeah, that was one, but that's about it, without looking it up. And so, having done the Super Bowl halftime show, he's completed the victory. I mean, so like at this point, the only thing left is he has to obviously tour. He and SZA are going on tour this summer. But outside of that, now what happens after that, you know, it's remains to be seen. We were talking earlier, and like I said, at this point, I don't need to hear anything else from Kendrick as far as Drake is concerned. And as far as Drake is concerned, I don't need to hear anything else from Kendrick. They've had that moment. Time to move on. I think Kendrick is going to go back to doing what he does. He's dropped the album. He's going to wait 3 more years. He'll drop another album.
He can't do that. Why not? He got too many new fans that's going to expect this type of music from him. and the casual Kendrick fan and the traditional Kendrick fan are going to have a problem. They're going to clash. Because they're going to be like, hey, I need another Not Like Us bop, man. He's going to be like, no, I'm about to tell you about my situation with my next door neighbor, how we grew up playing basketball, and then one day he got shot, and he's going to go into a whole story, and they're going to be like, nah, we want to hear that bop. And so it's going to be an issue. That's why I'm just going to let the new Kendrick fans, all these ones that he just latched on to in the last 8 to 10 months, y'all in for a ride, because like what Dolly said on the show, I would hate to go viral for something that's not me. And so, and I think Kendrick fell into that trap. Like, he like, oh my gosh. Like, this is.
Let me let you in on a little secret. And I'm going to let you in on a little secret, and I'm going to say this very slow so you don't miss it. Mm-hmm. Don't hold your breath. Kendrick Lamar is going to keep doing what he's been doing since Section 80. I've been a fan since Section 80. This is on brand with what he has done all before. He will give you an album. He'll probably drop a couple of songs here and there, but he'll give you an album. He'll tour the album. He's going to take 2 or 3 years off. That's one of the things I love about Kendrick, is that he reminds me so much of the old school hip-hop artist. No, this is what you're getting. I remember, and I think you and I talked about it, you know, we kept hearing about, once GNX came out, you kept hearing some of these, like you said, some of these new Kendrick fans, he's going to have another album out before the Super Bowl. No, he's not. He just gave you 14 songs. He's not giving you nothing else. He doesn't operate from that formula. He's not cut from that cloth. He is cut from the old school cloth where you get the album, you're going to enjoy the album, eat the album, dine on this, because and savor your food, because there won't be another album for another 3, maybe 4 years. And honestly, that's how it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to, as an artist, you're not supposed to put out music at that kind of volume in that clip. We saw Wayne do it with the mixtapes and everything like that, and that was when Wayne was at his hottest. And some will say that that kind of burned him out and burned his fans out as well, because they came to expect the music in such a quick return that they never really appreciated. So you have to kind of go back. But yeah, don't hold your breath. To the new Kendrick fans, don't hold your breath. He's going to stick to the same formula he's been sticking to. This one's a good one. 50 Cent versus Ja Rule. Who you got?
Well, according to the stories that I've heard, mm-hmm. they've had physical altercations,
yes,
along with rap. Now, at one point in time, matter of fact, I'm just going to go ahead and state, I got Ja Rule as the winner of my beef. Because one, Ja Rule,
really?
He got, yes, because one, Ja Rule lost because of public opinion. He didn't lose because of the music. He lost because we were tired of seeing Ja Rule winning. We was tired of seeing Ja Rule, cancel my eyes, just singing and all on the radio. We was tired. It was fatigue. We were just sick of Ja Rule, and 50 came with something new, and we ran to it. We didn't even know that 50 did the same thing that he accused Ja Rule of doing. He was like, oh, I'm getting tired of y'all. Then he started singing his music. He started taking his shirt off, making the love songs to the lady. You stole Ja Rule's style. And then going to the physical altercation, I heard that 50 got stabbed by Ja Rule and his associates. I heard that they got into a fight in Atlanta and Ja Rule won this fight. So I'm going with Ja Rule because to this day, he is still a thorn in 50's side. Like he can't stand him. And so he must have did something to make 50 hate him that much. So I'm going with Ja Rule.
I cannot say that you're wrong in anything that you said. But 50 won the beef because he got Ja out the paint. But now, to your point, everything that you said was true. We were tired of Ja. And you know, to be honest, I don't even know if we were tired of Ja. But when 50 came and he was so hot, he let us know, like, hey, he made us question Ja. And we literally got Ja out of here. And 50 turned around and did everything that he criticized Ja for. Singing on the hooks, you know, doing this, doing that, being in the videos, you know. Didn't that little New York sound? What you saying?
When they rapped over the Hail Mary beat, when they had everybody rapping on that, then they had Eminem dissing Ja, Busta was dissing Ja. I'm like, why is all these dudes dissing Ja? Like, it was just like a pile on. I was just like, hold on now, what? Now, Eminem, you ain't never said nothing about nobody. Right. Now you want to go with Ja?
Is his man though?
Exactly, but I was like, you know, Ja, I'll punch you in your face. You know what I'm saying? You know better than this, but you was all hyped up. So I ain't like the way everybody was piling up on Ja. So I'm going to say Ja won that battle because it took so many people to take him down, man.
Well, you know what, man? Like I said, I can't say that what you're saying isn't true. They, you know, 50 did all of that. But I still got to give 50 credit because even though Ja isn't making music, 50 isn't either. I mean, obviously, he's turned to something else as far as the business is concerned. Ja's business didn't really go that way. But yeah, I got 50 in that. How about this one from the 90s? Jadakiss versus Beanie Siegel. Who you got in that beat?
I was hoping this was one of the ones that didn't make your list because this is one of my favorite battles because they were going back and forth. Like, I mean, you would get a new mixtape, your partner hit you up like, yo, bro, you heard that new diss? Oh, hey, they spun it back. Oh, dude, Beanie got one because I think when Beanie rapped over Knock Yourself Out, no, what's that? Put Your Hands Up. Nah, that beat over there, doom, 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 doom. That one, and then when Jada came back rapping over that, the disco beat, he said, oh my God. I'm gonna go with a wash on this one, man. I'm gonna take the old fence ride away out. I'm gonna say this one was a wash because it was just like it was a battle where it was like a stalemate. Like both of them was taking scars, and nobody had a clear advantage. Like he might have a clear advantage this week. Sieg might come back with something. He took it. Then D Block and them may say something got him. So I'm gonna go. It was a stalemate, man. So I'm gonna say it was just a draw, man.
Yeah, I will agree on this one, Germ. I you took the words right out of my mouth, man. I think it's this one for me was tough because I love Beans, man. That was my guy. Still is. And Jada, man. Jada was just so raw. I was a fan at the time. I was a big fan of both. And I really didn't like the fact that they were going at each other. But it was like you said, you hear a tape, you hear a song on a mixtape, and you're like, oh, Jada got him. And then you hear Beans come back. You're like, oh, Beans got him. I couldn't really decide. Even if we weren't doing this podcast, I would say it was a flip of the coin. It literally, to me, was a flip of the coin. Next up, Lil Wayne versus Pusha T. Who you got in that one?
I'm going to have to go with I give Pusha T this win because Wayne really didn't want too much smoke for Pusha T because all he said was fuck Pusha T and anybody that's with him. That's all he pretty much said. And then, you know, he got him on Mr. Me Too. He kind of, styled on Wayne. And, you know, so I'm going to go Pusha T. You know, Wayne did kind of steal their style, you know, a little bit. Wayne blended a whole bunch of people's styles into his making of his greatest rapper alive claim.
I'm glad you said that publicly.
Yes. Because
there's a lot of people that don't believe that. But, no, he did. Yeah. He merged a lot of different flavors into who he became. I agree, man. I got to go with Pusha T. I really don't know that Wayne, I don't know that he wanted that battle. I don't know that he did. I think he talked a good talk, but Pusha T was somebody that, you know, you got to go to war with those words, and you got to pick up that pen, and you can't get on there and talk about how high you get or how many girls you got. you gotta go smoke for smoke. And yeah. I don't think Wayne was ready for that. Let's take it to the A. T.I. versus Luda. Who you got?
Oh, man. As much as I am a T.I. fan, I got to say Luda got him on this one. Because when he said, hey, your beef ain't legit, so please stay the T.I.P. I'm just like... I mean, I was just like, dang. That nigga said, I'm a monster in this game. I mean, that whole verse, I don't care. The way it was, you know, you heard his verse first. Hey, that's just the game. That's just how the game go. So, yeah, Ludacris won that one. He won that battle in that singular version.
Yeah, man, I got to go with Luda, too. And what was interesting was I remember just being here. And I tell people all the time, man, this city is big, but it's small. And what I mean by that is, like, when you start running in certain circles, it's almost impossible for some circles and some camps not to run into each other. And you never know when something's going to spill out into the streets. Now, luckily, it never got to that, but Luda's camp and T.I.'s camp, they were going to bump into each other at some point, at some spot, somewhere. It could have been at a house party. Could have been at a club. It could have been at a bar. It could have been at a restaurant. So we were kind of worried about that. We weren't worried about those two getting into it, but like the crews. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Luda got him with that, man. I don't think, I'll be honest, I was a little disappointed because I thought T.I. had something for him, and T.I. could not respond. I mean, T.I. was kind of riding off the, you know, the Flip thing, but. You know, Flip ain't Ludacris, man.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't.
He is not Ludacris. I mean, he's not Flip. And the thing is, like, people don't really understand, like, Ludacris got bars. Regardless of whether or not you think he's corny or not, or you think he can rap. He can rap. So, you know, he's never mentioned as far as, like, the all-time greats. And I get that part of it. But at the end of the day, I got him over T.I. Drake versus Meek Mill.
Once again, the boy.
The boy.
With another win. This was the original diss song, club song. Like, first time, like, dang, they playing a diss song at the club, man. This is crazy. This is crazy. And Poe Meek Mill ain't been the same since, man. Ever since Drake damn parted that motherfucker scalp, he ain't been the same, bro. And so... Drake win this one, the boy again.
Yeah, when he went back to back, and you know, Jerm, I'm not even a fan of Drake's music, but when he went back to back, I was like, oh my gosh, he got him. Because I thought when they first started battle, I was like, man, Meek gonna tear him up. And I was just like, when I heard Meek's response, I was like, oh no, Drake is gonna win this. And then Drake was able to get back in the booth and drop another song before Meek could even respond, man. And what he said, is that a world tour or your girl tour?
Girl's tour.
I was like, yo, I don't know who wrote that for him, but
the listen. Sweatshop of writers.
Listen, I got to give Drake his props, man. Drizzy did his thing on that. Oh yeah, classic.
So by my count, the boy is like 2-1 or 3-1 in rap battles.
Well, he lost to Pusha T and he lost to Kendrick. Yeah. So he's 1-2 to me.
Right, the boy. Going.
You might as well call him the child, because he ain't winning. This was another street one too. Gucci Mane versus Jeezy.
Well, I first heard the song called So Icy came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they fell out. So then Jeezy come out with this scathing diss record called Stay Strapped. And when he dropped this song, I was like, bruh, there's no way Gucci Mane come back for this. He's done. Put the dirt on him. He's finished. We're never going to hear from Gucci Mane again. Mm-hmm. Then the shooting happens. Mm-hmm. Then all the criminal cases, all this. And Gucci Mane comes back and the streets love him. I mean, I never would have thought it happened, but it happened. Gucci Mane, he was resurrected. He was the realest rapper alive. He still didn't get any better rapping was another reason.
Right.
He was still saying the same little, I can't even recite it. That's how bad it was. Gucci wins this battle over Jeezy. I mean, hands down.
Yeah, man, I gotta agree. One, like you said, it spilled into the streets. Unfortunately, young man lost his life.
Pookie Lowe.
Yo, listen, I don't know if we talked about this. That versus battle, man, I thought somebody was gonna die that night, man.
Hey, now you heard Jeezy. I tell you what.
I mean, it's like 5 minutes into we smoking on that Pookie Loke tonight. I was like, oh my gosh, is he serious?
They said, I put your boy in the dirt. I said, ooh, shoot.
I was like, yo, there's no way they get out of Magic City. And what's funny is, like, if you're familiar with downtown Atlanta, where Magic City is, there's literally, the police station is literally a block away. Fulton County Police Station. I was like, man, they got to have all the Fulton County out there making sure that those brothers get out of that place and everybody go to their different wherever they going. Because it was, I wasn't even there. I was watching from my home and I felt uncomfortable. So I can only imagine the participants in Magic City that night of the verses between Jeezy and Gucci Mane. But I give it to Gucci Mane. I give it to Gucci because I think Gucci was able to come through this battle. And like you say, he ain't the best rapper, but he was able to go to jail, rebrand himself, and still, like, he's still this. I mean, like, Jeezy Street, Gucci Street, but they're two different type streets. And mm-hmm. I think, like, ultimately in this city, I think, like, Gucci Mane is like a cult hero. He always will be.
And you got to think about the people that he found and put on. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, the Migos, the Young Thugs. Like, all those people that spawned off the Gucci tree. Like, he's the catalyst in the ATL sound. Oh, yeah. And, you know, that's my bad. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. That's perfect. I mean, you're right. I think that's a part of his legacy. And mm-hmm. people don't talk about it enough. And, you know, regardless of whether or not you like Gucci Mane as a rapper, you know, that part of his, like you said, his tree can't be denied. Let's see. Ice Cube versus Common Sense. Who you got in that beef?
Oh, man. Well, this is during that time where Ice Cube wasn't really Ice Cube no more. So I'm going to go with Common on this one. Common got him. Cause this is around about the Bitch and You time, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Cube didn't want no problems with Common right there. He ain't want no problems. I got Common in this one.
Yeah, I got Common slightly, but I'm a huge fan of both. I got Common slightly. Next up, a lot of people don't know about this one, but Jerm, I know you know about this. Mobb Deep versus Tupac.
Well. Song wise, Drop a Gem on them.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Mobb Deep. Gotta go with Mobb Deep. You know, even though but hold on. Pac did slide on him and hit him up though.
Did he really? Or was that like the Outlaws?
Pac said don't want any boy got sickle cell mess around having during come on, man. Pac got real disrespectful in that. Then he
Jerm, drop Mobb a Deep. Gem on him, that beat. The Havoc made, first of all, that's a sinister beat.
True.
I gotta go with Mobb Deep on this one, dog. I gotta go with Mobb Deep.
Dang. Yeah, I mean,
it's tough. That was tough. That
had
was
the
tough.
Whole New York State aiming at your face. Like, I mean, that's just, man. But Pac, yeah, I'm going Mobb Deep. I'm sticking with Mobb Deep.
Yeah, and you know what was wild though, and I took some points away from Mobb Deep for this because they dropped a gem on him after Pac was dead. Like, so it was in bad taste. Like, even the disses that, you know, Biggie had for Pac on Life After Death, you know, they bleeped him out or he had to go re-record him. Because it was just, I mean, you can't diss a dead man. I mean, that's just in bad taste. Now, this next beef, I don't even know if, I know that they don't like each other. I don't even know if they've had words on Wax. 50 versus Fat Joe. What you got on that one?
Oh man, that was Piggy Bank and all that one.
Oh, yo, I forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah, my money goes into my. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
I'm gonna go with 51 that one, man.
I got 52. I got.
He got Fat Joe with that one. He got Fat Joe with that one.
Hey, you know what, man? 50. He's won quite a few of these. We I don't think we've said he's lost any.
I said Ja Rule got him.
Oh yeah, Ja Rule. Okay. What about 50 versus Game?
I'm gonna go with Hurricane Game on that one. Cause Game stood up on his own. Cause 50 was supposed to come through and crush Game, and we were supposed to see. I think 50 thought that he was just like, oh, this newcomer, I'm finna crush him, get him out the way. Nobody knows him. But Game's ability to rap kept him in the battle and made people see, like, oh. So then Game did what, you know, Joe Budden and them do. Oh, you do it. I'm going to do 100 bars of running, 200 bars of running, right. 300 bars of running, 400 bars of running. He just like, he oversaturated 50. He's like, oh, I'm about to leave this nigga alone. All he want to do is rap, man. I ain't going to fuck with him, man. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say Game got 50.
Yeah, I'm going to give this one to Game. I think Game probably... is one of the few people that just really, at that particular time, he had nothing to lose. I mean, like, because of his contract situation, and he knew that, you know, his relationship with Dre and 50's relationship with Dre was going to prevent it from ever getting, you know, to something physical or, you know, guns, anything like that. But I think at that particular time, like, Game didn't have anything to lose. So he was like, I'm going all in. I'm going, you know, forward to the floor. Like, I might as well, because I don't have anything else to lose. He was literally, like you said, rapping for his life or rapping for his lunch. This next beef, you probably remember this one. I don't remember this at all. 3-6 Mafia versus Bone Thugs Harmony. You remember that one?
And that's, nah, I didn't even know they were beefing.
The only thing I think they could be beefing about is like who originated the style, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, because I think
I don't remember that one.
Do I remember something about them calling them devil worshippers or something? I don't know. I think this was, I kind of vaguely, kind of, sort of remember this beef, or it might have been something brief, but I don't know. I'm not sure about this one. I have to call my brother. I didn't like Bone. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, so. We can pass.
You
on
like
this.
Bone? Okay.
No,
okay.
I was not with that fast rapping stuff back in the day. I could not do it.
Hey man, listen. I bought Bone's first album, and I thought the album was dope. But I can't tell you a word they said. All I know is they missed Uncle Charles, and that's it.
I like For the Love of Money. That's the only song I think they made, and that Buddha Lovers. Those like the only two songs they got.
Yeah,
I like.
Yeah, that was a good song too. All right, a couple more before we get out of here. Nicki Minaj versus Lil Kim. They had words.
Hey, once again, Nicki got up out of there because she was just like, cause I think that's the one time. Matter of fact, Monster. That's she dissed Lil Kim on Monster. Cause that's the one. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that's who she was dissing on there. She said, "Wait, I'm the rookie," and something halftime you paid. Like she was, yeah. First album out, something tall, niggas got to climb, whatever she said in that one.
Okay.
Nicki murdered her in Monster. One of the best rap verses she ever rapped. I mean, when she out-rapped the boys on that one. Still, like I said, Lil' Kim raps fell off when a certain person left the earth, and she never was the same. And just saying, Just saying.
Hey, Germ, that ain't a lie.
It ain't like a lie. Your rap man. Style changed up a whole lot. Like, you started rapping Jamaican and everything. I was just like, yo, when Lil' Kim turned Jamaican on us, boy? Like, she had a whole album of her rapping in patois. I was just like, when she start doing this? That you know what I'm saying? But yeah, lie. So Nicki won her going away, high stepping.
Yeah, I got Nicki in that one too. Yeah, you right. Kim, you can say what you want, but nah, it ain't been the same since Papa left. Let's see. LL versus Can I Bust. Who you got?
Well, I mean, rap purists would say that Cannabis, you know, he gave LL a little run for his money. First off in 4-3-2-1, he had a nice little verse. You know, I mean, he was rapping. You know, Cannabis was hot then. He was a new guy. But then LL had to really show him in 4-3-2-1, like, listen, Lil Shorty with the big mouth, you know, shut him down. Then second round knockout come out. You know, then LL come out with Can I Bust and pause. And LL got him, man. It was a great battle. Cannabis fought hard, but he went against, like, it was like when Drake went against Pusha T. It was just like but it was like Drake was a formidable opponent and he had a crowd behind him. LL could rap and he had the crowd behind him. So, you know, Cannabis, you might got a few of the purest dudes with the book bags on and the chew sticks on. And the dirty jam sports, yeah, and the little fatigue hat on and everything.
This man say the chew sticks.
Yes, and the fatigue hat on with the brim on it.
Oh, he's
talking
about me in the 90s, man.
Yeah. He that guy says he, you know, Cannabis won, but everybody else, they say LL got him.
Listen, I'm gonna go with Cannabis because first and foremost, and I'm gonna tell you why. And Eclectic and I have had this discussion, and I'm gonna say this again on this podcast. LL did the punk move because if his hip hop historians know, Cannabis didn't mean any harm by his verse. LL heard Cannabis's verse, and because it was LL's song, he was able to go back and take it out. So he ended up dissing Cannabis on the track. Cannabis would have never agreed to be on 4-3-2-1 if he knew he was going to get dissed on it. And so he asked about the tat on his arm because he was admiring it. And LL turned it into something, and LL has admitted it. He turned it into something that it really should have never been. I personally think Second Round Knockout was dope. When he said 99% of your fans wear high heels, he wasn't lying, because at that particular time, man, LL wasn't appealing to none of us. All of us from the 80s, all of us from, you know, the radio days and Bigger and Deffer days, we were gone from LL because LL...
He was Big Ellie at that time. What are we talking about? Big
Ellie.
He was Big Ellie.
Ellie.
This was like...
Nobody ever called him Big Ellie. This is that bullshit, man.
And then LL fired back with 99% of your fans don't exist.
it was too late then. I'm giving it to Can I Bust because I think LL did the punk move from switching his verse. And like I said, he left Cannabis. I mean, I can't imagine somebody inviting you onto the song and then he ain't diss DMX. He ain't diss Meth or Red or anybody else for that matter, that particular time.
So when I heard your verse and I felt like you was dissing me on my own song, what you think I'ma do? Like, so you don't understand. Like, I hear what you saying, and I know the backstory. You like, oh, okay, you asked about the mic on my arm, and then in the song you said you gonna rip it off with my head with the crown still attached to it and all this stuff, and you know I got a crown on a microphone. Man, come on. So it's just you just so happened to ask me about it. You rapped about this song and said you was gonna rip it off my arm and everything like this.
LL said he was on coke and he was high, so he didn't know anything.
Go back and read Cannabis words, man. That I understand why LL took it. He felt like it was smoke. Like, oh, what's up? This little young nigga wants something, man.
Man, listen. So I'm giving it to Cannabis, man. Shout out to Cannabis. And I mean, like I said, he was just like Mo D. He was fighting an uphill battle because at that particular time, and still to this day, if you diss LL, LL still has legions and legions of fans. And a lot of them do wear high heels.
But I just want to know, Cannabis, I know he said that LL may have more cash than him, but LL didn't have the skills to eat a nigga ass like him. That's what kind of skills do you have? Cannabis is all I need to know.
Hey, man, you know what he meant back then.
I know. But it's just funny.
Oh, man. I think he probably regrets that line. All right. Last but not least, we'll end it like this, man. Pac versus Big, man. Who you got?
Oh, man. This was a battle of two contrasting styles. Mm-hmm. This is like watching a boxing match of two left-handed fighters. The fights were just, it ain't right, because one was a realist and another one was like a storyteller, fantasy rapper. And then, you know, they never really, like, one side, like, Pac just, like, dissed everybody. Like, Pac went nuclear. Big threw, like, real subliminal jabs and, like, he ain't really want no parts of the fight. So I'm going to say Pac won this one, man. As many Pac-Biggie fans, Biggie arguments, everybody knows, yes, Biggie is a way better rapper, more talented. He might be one of the most skillful rappers of all time. I mean, he was way ahead of his time. He lost his life at 24 or 25, and he was that far ahead of his peers. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, he didn't even get to his prime. Like, he still was raw, untapped, you know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't even get to that part. So, but as far as the beef goes, Pac hit him with too many songs. Like, it was just too much. Like, and then Pac was scathing, like, yo, I hate you. Like, it was on some, like, you were just like, wow. Like, you were scared to have these two jokers in a room because, I mean, we saw shots fly, everything. Like, this, it was not a safe time to be on either side of these camps during that time. So, and Pac was the reason behind that. So Pac won this one hands down.
Yeah, I couldn't have said it better. You're talking about two contrasting styles, and it wasn't a fair fight, I don't think, because you had probably one of the most, well, I ain't gonna say one, probably the most influential rapper of all time, who really became even more influential once he left. And then you have one of the best lyricists that we've ever seen and heard in Big. I think as far as song for song, and I still say this all the time, if Hit 'Em Up had been one verse by Tupac, it probably is the greatest diss record ever. But when them outlaw dudes got on there, the value of the song went down. Them dudes is terrible. In fact, whenever I listen to Hit 'Em Up, I never get past the Pac verse. I always change the song because them dudes was terrible. I can't tell you who they are. But I will say this much. And I, something I mentioned a little earlier, I didn't like the fact that Big took shots at Pac on Life After Death when he wasn't here to defend himself. I think if Pac were alive, he would have been able to come back. And I think maybe we don't even get the verses that we got. I think maybe we get like some real hard shit going back at Pop. That being said, I'm going to take Big in the battle. But I don't think it was a fair one. I think it was, you know, cause like I said, it's contrasting styles. You're dealing with a rapper and a lyricist, two different things, because Pop, you felt Pop, like even to this day, you can put on your favorite Tupac song and you're going to feel what he's saying. And if you see any of his performances, you're going to feel what he's saying. Biggie, you're going to have to sit and listen to Biggie. You're going to have to sit and it has to marinate to what he's saying, because, you know, you can pick any lyric that of his and he'll make you think, or he'll make you laugh, or he'll make you just, you know, get in the zone, man. So I got to go Big, but that one, we could ask 10,000 people. We'll get, you know, it literally be 50-50. It's never going to be the same. Never going to be the same. Nope. Before we get out of here, Drum, is there anybody, any beefs that I didn't cover? I think I got just about everybody.
It would probably be like, you know, Cash Money, No Limit, something like that. Just
okay.
That wasn't really a beef. If you really wanted to do a deep dive, you could have said Master P and Pimp C. But I just think they just had a couple of little, you know, jabs back and forth.
A couple of jabs, yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't too much. But other than that, man, we pretty much covered the board with all the major battles. I know somebody, I mean, y'all didn't cover MC Bree versus... No, we did. We did. Sorry.
I know somebody's going to say, hey, y'all didn't cover MC Light versus Antoinette. Because I'm not.
Y'all didn't cover the more ladies. Y'all, all it was just Nikki, man. Y'all forgot about, No, we did.
And I'm looking at this list. Sean Corey Carter does not appear on this list.
Has Jay-Z had any battle? Besides Nas.
Oh, damn. We almost forgot about that. Damn, my bad. Before we get out of here, Jay-Z and Nas. Whew, okay. You saved me.
Yeah.
In
that battle, at that time, Jay-Z won that battle. Because one, Nas, Ether, if you look at it, time hasn't really stuck with Ether. Ether is just, all he says to Ether is, you ugly, you ugly, you ugly, you ugly. He just says, Jay-Z, you ugly 19 different ways in Ether. That's all Ether is. Go back and listen to it, people. Ether is not that good of a diss song. It's not. You know what I'm saying? Takeover way better. You know what I'm saying? Like Jay-Z won. Then Nas, like I said, Nas was a failing rapper at that time. He was, you know what I'm saying? You know, Nas tried to say, well, my mom was sick at the time. And Jay, he waited till my mom was sick. No, he didn't. He didn't. He did you a favor, Nas. If it weren't for Jay-Z, you never would have invested your money in Uber or Lyft or whatever one, or the Ring camera, whatever you invested your money. If it wasn't for that, Nas, man, you still be on child support from Khalees. Jay-Z won that battle easily.
Nas won this battle. No, nobody says you got taken over. Ether is a verb now because of Nas. It's just like, when we watch football, they say you got mossed. That means somebody jumps over you. So that's the term. Mossed is a verb.
Time out. Mm-hmm. So when somebody get put on the Summer Jam screen, what is that?
When's the last time you've been to Summer Jam?
But still, we understand. If I say, hey, bro, I got put on the Summer Jam screen, you know what that means, because Jay-Z's yes. Summer Jam screen made yes. Ether a verb.
Nas made Ether a verb. He basically said he called Jay out for stealing Big's lines, which he's still doing to this day. he called Jay-Z out for the hypocrisy. He said, you stabbed on and made your man take the rap, which is something that happened in real life, where Jay-Z got mad because Un Rivera had allegedly bootlegged Jay-Z CDs, and Jay-Z got mad and stabbed a man on stage in front of thousands of people.
Back in the day, people, where you got hurt for bootlegging, which y'all do for free.
Of course.
Like back then, a rapper could run up on you while you selling your tapes, and they would mess up your whole operation.
Is he Dame Diddy, Dame Daddy, or Dame Dummy? Oh, I get it. You're Biggie, and he's Puffy. Wow.
Man.
Listen, I could keep going on. And Eminem murdered you on your... No, hold on. Let me go back. You stabbed your man and made Un take... You stabbed Un and made your man take the blame. You went from Jazz to hanging with Kane, which he was hanging with Big Daddy Kane, to Herb, to Big, and Eminem murdered you on your own shit. And Eminem did murder Jay-Z.
Time out. How did Eminem murder Jay-Z when Eminem spit the same raps that he spit on the same song with Royce, and then Eminem, Jay had to come in and write new verses to that? Come on, man. I give Jay credit for writing his verses to a song that already was there.
J.J. Evans, get gummed up and clap quick. How many Biggie rhymes gonna come out your fat lips?
Hey, that man said... He said he's not a biter, he a writer for himself and others. He said Big versus he's only bigging up his brother. He's bigging up his burrow. He's big enough to do it. I'm that thorough. Come on, man. What you mean?
Man, listen. Again, Nas won the beef. I don't even think... Well, I'm not going to say it's not close. And then here's the thing, too, that lets you know that Nas won. They put it out on a poll. There was no such thing as Twitter polls, but they put it out. And New York City decided, and they said, even before that, Jay-Z, when he heard Ether, the man went and did Super Ugly. And he had, and hit, the only thing he could say in Super Ugly was that he slept with Nas's baby mama. Okay, so that's cool. But even Jay-Z's own mama said, apologize. You have taken this too far. Thank you, Gloria Carter, for telling your son he just lost the battle.
Mom don't listen to rap. She ain't hear that's your chick. She ain't hear that when Jay-Z just styled on Nas for three verses.
Listen, man. I mean, the ether to make the shit, make your soul burn slow. His soul burned slow. And it was to the point.
It made his hair grow.
Yeah, his hair's growing. It made it to the point where, do you know a part of their settlement, if you will, is that neither one of them performed their songs anymore, those songs anymore. They've never performed publicly, at least as far as I know. They've never performed, since they squashed the beef, they've never performed those songs. But even, you could be at a Nas show and you start yelling, Ether, Ether, Ether. He will not do it because Jay didn't want that Nas to be able to carry that. So imagine, and I don't even know if Ice Cube still does No Vaseline, but I'm pretty sure that when we're 70 years old, if Kendrick Lamar is still performing, he's gonna do Not Like Us, because he don't like Drake. And him and Drake could probably, I don't even know if they could settle the beef, but if they settled the beef, I think, you know, maybe. But I mean, Jay-Z made sure that he asked that request of Nas, is that, hey, you don't do that song, I don't do this song.
That's sweet of him, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's what losers do. And I'm a fan. I mean, y'all know I love Jay. I love Nas. But, you know, that's what losers do. But but anyway, Germ, man, I appreciate you for coming through, man. Man, this has been dope. Listen, I don't always come up with great ideas, man, but this brother right here, he came up with the idea earlier today when we were on the phone. And when I started looking for the cover art, I was like, after we got off the phone, I started making the cover art, because that's what I always do. Anytime I get an idea, I make cover art. That way I know that I'm going to do that episode. And I was like, man, we could scratch what we were going to talk about. We could do this tonight. So again, Germ, man, thank you for coming through, man. Before you get out of here, man, tell folks where they can find you at, man.
Man, first of all, 12 Cal, thank you again for sharing your platform with me. Anybody want to check us out, man, you can check me and my wife out every Friday. We do a show called Pod and Save Our Marriage. With me and my wife, we entertain and explain how podcasting has saved our marriage, because it really has, you know what I'm saying? So you can find us on the Twitters at Pod and Saved, on Instagram at Pod and Saved Our Marriage. And like I said, every Friday on all DSPs, Pod and Saved Our Marriage is out there.
For sure, for sure. Y'all make sure y'all check this brother out. One of my favorite podcasts to listen to. I'm not just saying that because he's here. It's like clockwork every Friday. I'm checking him out. And pure comedy. For like an hour and 20 minutes, you're going to get pure a great conversation between a husband and wife. And I sometimes worry for his safety based on some of the things he says on the podcast. But she ain't killed him yet. So, that's where you guys can find them. You know where to find me, right here, the Rap Soul Podcast. We drop new episodes every Monday at midnight. From time to time, we may start dropping bonus episodes. We'll see. We're kicking around the idea. Don't forget about the flagship station, the 12 Kyle Podcast. We drop new episodes every Thursday at midnight. And from time to time, we drop bonus episodes on Sundays. You can find the Rap Soul Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We're on all streaming platforms. You can follow us on social media at Rap Soul Podcast, on Twitter X, Blue Sky, Threads, Facebook, Instagram, as well as TikTok. And if you want to contribute financially, we don't have a lot of money over here like Germ. You can hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Again, that's going to do it for us. So for my man King Germ from Pod and Saved Our Marriage, I am your boy 12 Kyle, and this has been another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. and feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5000.